Baptist Church, Thomas Village Baptist Church parking lot, and everyone who is allowing us to be a part of your worship today on Facebook. We do want to let you know that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, no one will do greater than Jesus Christ wants to do in your life. But we're thankful that you're with us. If you are watching by Facebook, we ask you to share. Our desire today is that Jesus Christ be glorified to the honor of the Father. Amen. And we know we can only do that with the person of the Holy Spirit. And so in unity right now, I ask you to come together with me and one, recognize that we need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and his blood, but also that we need the breath of heaven, the Holy Spirit, really the spirit of Christmas, to come and move in this place. And I challenge you today, today's the last day that we'll gather really together before we celebrate Christmas or the worship of the Messiah. So what did you bring to give to the Messiah today? The greatest thing you can ever give him is your life, and the second greatest is praise because of who he is. So let's go to the Lord of Prayer, and then we'll have some singing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's a good day to be in your house, and every day is a great day to be called your child. And Lord, we're reminded that it is the Christmas season. For unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given. Lord, we thank you for that. And let our hearts, even though, Heavenly Father, Lord, everything around us, everything in us may say, what's there to celebrate? But God, we celebrate a risen Savior. We celebrate a Creator who came to be identified with his creation. We come to celebrate Jesus. So Holy Spirit, blow in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joy, and I just want to sing this song too. rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. The rugged cross was my cross too.
Church. Good morning, church. Facebook friends out there. Hope you're trying to enjoy this season, and it's going to be what you make of it. You can look, as Pastor Brian said, around at the bad things going on, but you can look around at the good things that went on some 2,000 years ago. They just sang about giving us a Savior. One of our church members reminded me this morning that I had said that none of us are good. And I said, that's what the Word says. None are good, no, not Brian, Amy, Otis, Tammy, Wayne. None of us are good in ourselves. But we don't have to be good. We have a Savior. And she also reminded me that, well, we can be saints, can't we? And I said, yes, Paul says, if you are his, you're a saint. So I don't know if you look like a saint, if you act like a saint, but if you're Christ Jesus' child, you're a saint.
Glory.
Not my word, but his word. So we have a lot to be praised to him for and be thankful for that we forget about. So we don't forget about those things this season of Christmas. And make something good of it with your neighbor, with your friends, your families. Maybe you have some to up with and to. I don't know your situation. One of our former pastors used to say, if you don't have situations in your life and turmoil, just hang on. It's coming sometime or other to everybody. Death comes to everybody's door sometime or other. Sick of an escape, the Bible says, and that's Christ. But I just wanted to say those things to the church on behalf of the deacons and the pastor, that we love you, and we don't get to see each other like we should and talk like we should, but we still love you. And I don't know of any particular announcements except Wednesday night. We're not going to have an open church service. The pastor is going to do a short devotional and our lost list and our prayer list, and then maybe do some things with our drive-through that we had last Sunday night, which I saw several people this week, and they said, y'all had something at church, and it was good. I said, yeah, it was good. Amen. It was great, and I appreciate all of you. Everybody that took part in it, everybody that drove through, we're very thankful. And prayerfully and hopefully next year it will be less on us as far as the virus, and things may settle out, and maybe we can do this even bigger. Not for us, but for the Lord. The only announcement I have, if you have anything else, let me know. Anything else I need to announce? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for going to a cross and dying for everybody. Sins past, sins present, and sins in the future. We have great insurance in Jesus Christ. Eternal life with you, God. Thank you for it. for this season, we can celebrate a son, a savior, a messiah, a salvation, and just freedom from this world. And just thank you so much for the needs of our church, the needs of our elders in our church, those that are sick and hurting, those that have had surgery, those that are having cancer treatments. Lord, we just pray for so much. But you know our hearts, you know us, and we just thank you for you to be with us at this time of year that we can celebrate you. Giving gifts are good, receiving gifts are good, but the greatest gift we ever receive is with our service this morning. Thank you for the ladies that are singing this morning. May you lift their voices up to praise you and lift us up as well. And we ask each blessing.
We do have the words. We're singing O Holy Night for the congregational. If you'd like to sing along, please join us. I'm just getting the note. Sorry.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear on.
53, verse 3 through 5. He was despised and like one whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed.
Yeah.
Christmas is not just about the baby in the manger.
Yeah.
It's about the Lamb of God who saved the world from her sin. It's about the cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. Jesus came to be born once again. It's about the star that rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. About the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood to save me.
Your side and stand with The song that they sang just before the last one, if you'll remember, it said, "Behold your King," didn't it? It said, "Behold your King." I want you to stop just for a moment. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a second. And in the Holy Spirit that lives within you, I pray right now that you catch a glimpse of the image of who Jesus is. We know that He ascended into heaven bodily. He has a body. There's an old saying that the only thing that's in heaven that'll be man-made will be the scars. Right now, as you look at that image of Jesus, look in on His face. Do you see the thorns, scars that are left there? Maybe a scar on His eye where He was punched. Maybe He reaches out His hands to you and you see the scars where He suffered for our sins. As you look at Him and remember it's His birthday, would you with me right now just raise your hands and say, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the King. Worthy is our Messiah who came and died for us. Worthy is Jesus." You may be seated for a moment, but don't get comfortable because I'm going to ask you to stand up quick in just a minute, all right? If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Now, I know for the past few weeks we've kindly been in Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 1 and 2 and John chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we've jumped around. We've looked at different things. We looked at the spirit of Christmas. We looked at the prophetic verses from the Old Testament in Christmas. Wednesday night, as you're turning to Luke chapter 2, we looked at the when prophecy became reality. The first three people that were made aware of the arrival of the long foretold Messiah. We have Mary, who's number one, Joseph, who seems to be number two, and Elizabeth, who's already had her own miracle at about 6 months, seems to be number three. And matter of fact, when she first speaks to Mary, she doesn't say, "Praise the Lord, I'm pregnant," or anything like that. She says, "Blessed am I that my Savior," or my Redeemer, "would allow His mother to come into my house." And so basically what I'm saying is kindly, as we've been here in Luke 2, we kindly jumped all around and looked about the birth of Christ or how the birth of Christ came. But today I want us to really just stop and look at the place and the people that were there the night that the Messiah entered His creation. If I had a plan for a title for it, it would simply be "The Birth of Christ." And I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, in honor of God's Word. Now, it is 20 verses today. It is kindly long. But if you can't stand, we understand as well. We do ask you to be praying for the Wendy Fields. She's sick right now. Also want to lift up Sister Emily Ward after she's recovering from some oral surgery. And then also my nephew, Bodie Cope, right now has had to go to the ER, to urgent care with sickness. It's that time of year, plus COVID on top of it. But this morning, let's just pause for a few minutes and let's look at the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there were..." I had to learn this, pause, time out. I had to learn this when I was a child in doing the manger scene and all this. And I had to be the narrator and I had to learn this. And it still, part of it still just rings out in my head. And I'm so thankful that I was raised in a time where the Word of God wasn't an add-on, but it was a part of the way families lived. Do you know what I mean? Luke 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house
and lineage of David. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came down upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go even now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying that which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The birth of Jesus Christ. As you sit down, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the beautiful singing. Thank you, Lord, for just the gift and the spirit of fellowship that we have here today. And we are reminded that you are worthy. You are worthy of bowing and bending of knee. You're worthy of raising up of hands. You're worthy of, even if you called us to stand on our head or hop on one foot, Lord, you'd still be worthy of it. But God, today, again, as a sinner, I invite you here to be in my midst to improve that I may worship you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it go out through the air, anointed in the parking lot and by ways of Facebook. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. This is the last Sunday before the day that we as Christians and much of the world, those that are followers of Jesus Christ, have officially set aside December the 25th as the date that we celebrate the Messiah's arrival. And today I kind of felt like after you've preached so many times about Christmas and the things surrounding Christmas, it can really become almost, I feel like I'm repeating things. But this morning's message God just gave to me beginning it yesterday, and I really find it very enjoysome. I find it comforting. And so today I pray that in this you'll also find the comfort and the true joy of Christmas. Remember, what is Christmas? We break it down into two words. That is Christ and Mass. We know that Christ is the anointed one, the promised one, the Messiah, the deliverer. All the way from the book of Genesis where we're told that Eve's son will bruise the head of the serpent. There has been a promise of a Messiah. The Bible teaches us that ever before there was the word spoken to bring the firmament and the sky and all that together, there was a Savior. There has always been a Savior, the Anointed One. And then we see the term Mass, which means to publicly celebrate and worship that Messiah, to worship that Deliverer, to worship the one that we just sang a song that said, every drop of blood he shed should have been my blood. That's who we're celebrating when we celebrate Christmas. Praise God, we have a God unlike any other. Matter of fact, there is no other, but even those so-called gods are unlike him. As you know, I don't like it when biblical events are called stories. You know, I like their accounts. Remember, these are accounts written by eyewitnesses or other eyewitnesses at that time. That's why. And if you take all the verses about the nativity in Scripture, we have Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. That's 20 verses. But then if you take away the Magi, the wise men, because we know that was probably, remember, they're called a young child, so we know that was probably up to a year to maybe even closer to 16 months that happened there. But then also take away all the genealogies and stuff like that. Take away the scene where Mary met with Gabriel and then saw Elizabeth and sang her praise. Take that away. And see, none of that is at the actual birth. Take away when Joseph, remember when the angel of the Lord, which is really Gabriel, remember when he came and he talked to Joseph and Joseph rose up in obedience. You take all that away and you focus just on the night that Jesus was born. And you notice there's only about 28 verses. That's not much, is it? Not much, is it? But that's what we're looking at. And in those 28 verses is the most important event that had ever happened on earth up to that point. That's why, hey, I didn't choose the words for it, and some people still probably want to change it, but I think it's funny that it's still called history. Because it's His story. Again, I just don't like it when they're called stories. Because at this time of year, you hear a lot of stories. You know what I mean? I listen to, my youngins call me a fuddy-duddy. I can eat the early bird special and all that. I'm good with it, okay? I go to bed with the chickens, but I can get up with the chickens too. But I like to listen to a radio classics radio station, and it plays the old Gunsmoke, and it plays the old... what's the one they live down in Pine Forest? What's their names? Yeah, Lum and Abner and all of them. I listen to all of them. And in them, this Christmas season, I'm hearing stories. I hear the story of Scrooge and Marley and the three Christmas visitors. You know that one. Then there's this one, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Matter of fact, in a bunch of those radio classics I listen to, a lot of them on the night before Christmas gather around the Christmas tree and they get out this old book and 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung with chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. You see, those are Christmas stories, but what I have read to you this morning is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the hope of all humanity. It is the only thing that makes life worth living. It is no story, but it is the account of my Savior coming into my world so that He could be part of my family and I could be part of His family. Y'all ready to go to the house? That's good enough, ain't it? No, it ain't good enough. No, there's a lot more. I thought you was going to get off easy today. Look here, I brought my Germex. I'm ready to go today, buddy. COVID it up, me and Dr. Ella. We're ready. We need to get it going. It's good to be with you today. And I even looked at some of my sermons. And I never had one. And the bad thing is that even us who, like I said, we've been raised in church. We learned the verses because we were in the plays. You know? But do we really? Thank God we started a tradition at my house, and I guess it's been since we've had a child, that every Sunday morning before we open presents, we read the Christmas story. We read this. Because that's what it's about. But even those of us, we can miss it. We can go a whole Christmas season and not really think on those 20 to 28 verses. We can think about all that's surrounded with it. I had sermons like this. Listen, the spirit of Christmas. Mary's encounter with Gabriel. Joseph's dreams. The wise men. Christmas prophecies. The heart of Christmas. All of those are good too. I promise you, they'll carry you back to the cross. But what about His birth? Let's look at the situation. This is going to be verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also up into Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage, or the legacy of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. I want to read you a quick verse for just a second, okay? And you might think, how does that tie in? But over in the book of Haggai, the prophet says this. Haggai chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. For the Lord of hosts says, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and shake the earth, the sea and the land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all nations will come. And I will find and I will fill this house with glory and the Lord of hosts. If you go back into the, now again, we're talking about the situation, but if you go back into the Old Testament, if you remember, you always had the Amalekites and the Syrians and the Mesopotamians and all these ones fighting against this and all this. Well, guess what? At this time, that was no longer really going on. You know why? Because under men like Alexander the Great, ungodly men, and for 500 years, God's been silent to Israel. He's not been talking to them. But in those 500 years, guess what he's been doing? He's been shaking the earth. He's been shaking it up. Why? Because under men like Alexander the Great, under great battles and great men dying and the loss of a multitude, at this time Rome, Greece, was in control of over 50% of the earth. Over 50%. And you know what else? If you read these scriptures, like over in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 24, you'll see that this taxation or this registration, it happened a lot more. But guess when the first time it was ever said to be done? Woo! When Jesus was to be born. It's going to happen again, but that's the first time that it was ever said, that Rome ever said, you got to go back to your own hometown where your people's from, because we're going to register you. And once we register you, we're going to tax you. That's what it was about in the minds of the kings and the wicked rulers that was there. But God in heavens was shaking the earth, and he was getting it to the place. Why? So that the treasure could come forth. See what happens when you stop and you look at the birth itself? When you look at it, the earth's population, you see, the Bible says when the fullness of time has come, nothing is out of his hands. He is sovereign. These men were killing these men, and that man was fighting that man. Alexander, by the age of 22, had conquered over half the earth. Why? Because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, there had to be a Messiah. There was a promised Messiah before there was creation. Yes, it's the fulfillment. And notice this, that he just was not born anywhere. But the specific decree said, go back to your people's home, to the land of your heritage. What does it say over in Micah chapter 5, verse 2? But thou, Bethlehem, Ephraim, though thou art little among the thousands of Judah, but yet of thee shall come forth unto me, that is ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from old and from everlasting. You see, he shook the heavens. And we could talk about the star, how the planets had to align and all those kind of things had to align up. That was a part of shaking the heavens. But now I want you to look. We've seen that this situation is special. First time it's ever happened. But then there's a special couple in the midst of this special situation. Look there in verses 6 and 7. And it says, Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary and his espoused wife, being great with child. Now again, we looked at Wednesday night, when prophecy becomes reality. We looked at Mary, we looked at Joseph, and we looked at Elizabeth, so I'm not going to rehash some of those things. But I want to tell you a little bit about Mary real quick. She is a poor, innocent girl, probably between the ages of 14 and 17. She's from an insignificant town called Nazareth. She probably, in our minds, would seem to be physically immature to be taking on the burden that she's taking. But at the same time, we see that this young teenage girl is a courageous girl and a girl full of character. She's pure physically. And from what we can tell, she's a whole lot mature spiritually than probably many of us. And it was there that Gabriel came to her and he said, "Hey, guess what? You found favor with God, and you're no longer are you going to be looking for the Messiah, but you're going to bear the Messiah." And she said, "Well, how can this be?" She said, "I've never known a man, or I've never had sexual relations with a man." And Gabriel said, "Don't worry." Said that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and that which is conceived in you will be known as the Son of God. And you know what her response was that day? "Let it be as you have said, because I'm the Lord's doulos. I'm the Lord's slave." How many of us this Christmas would ask God, "Give me the heart of the doulos. Give me the heart." I was asked this week, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I truly told that person, I said, I am blessed. I don't need anything, but you know, the one thing that does grieve me is that Brian gets in the way of getting closer to Jesus. But this little girl said, "Have it, let it be your way." And then there's Joseph. What do we know about Joseph? We know that he's of the line and lineage of David. And think of the great joy that fell upon Mary at that time. "I'm going to be the Messiah." But then at the same time, a 14 to 16-year-old girl being pregnant outside of marriage, that ain't practical. It ain't proper. And most people ain't going to believe nothing but one thing. Right? And then there's Joseph. And listen, who was Joseph? Joseph, we know, was a carpenter, and we know that Jesus took up his trade as well. When Joseph learned, you know he had to be eat up inside when he found out the bride-to-be was with child. He had to have that anxiety on top of him. But he was a good man and a just man, the Bible says. And so instead of, he wanted to do what was right with God and right by her. And so he was just going to put her away, be done with it. No harm, no foul. We'll just go our separate ways. I'm not going to make a mockery out of you. But in his dream, the same angel that came to Mary came to him and said, "Hey, Joseph, fear not. Fear not, for that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost, and he will be called the Most High." And you know what Mary did when she was with Elizabeth? She just started singing, "Woo, woo, woo, yes, this is great, everything's good, everything's good." You know what Joseph did? Joseph got up and did what he was told. And in that moment, he took on the joy, yes, but he took on the burden. From that moment on, how awesome is this to be? I mean, we think about Mary and how wonderful it is, but think about Joseph, how God loved you enough that he said, "I'm going to make you the protector of my boy. I'm going to have you look after him and his mama. I want you to teach him how to work." Everything about it was completely anti what we know as royalty and dignity. It's completely different. So we have the situation. Then into that midst of that situation, we have Mary and Joseph, and he's got her. And it says that they abstained from relations. Matter of fact, they had, we at least know, Jesus had three to four brothers. But they abstained. And it shows we see him on that pony, you know, we see him on that donkey, and he's leading her and he's guiding her. He's taking care of her, all the finger pointing, all the mocking, all the mockery. Says that he's going back to where? He's going back to Bethlehem, to his people's house. I don't know about you, but I got people that love me, but they also talk about me behind my back. Amen, brother. What do you reckon What do you reckon they were saying? Sometimes what they say is true, though. What do you reckon was being said? You know Joseph's coming and he's bringing her. Yeah, that Mary. Mary. Giving birth to the Messiah. We knew Joseph was dumb, but we didn't think he had lost his mind, did we? But that's what they were toting. They were carrying that. And look at the setting we find in these two special couple in this situation. And they're in the setting. And it says over in chapter Luke 2, beginning of verse 6, it says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." Now, I want to notice, it doesn't tell us that she just arrived there, does it? It doesn't say that she's been there 7 days. But here's how we can do misconceptions in our mind. In our minds, what happens? They're getting there just about dusk, and it's going down, and they're going around, and they can't find a place to stay, right? That's how we immediately... We don't know if it's like that. It might have been like that. But we don't know. All it says is that while they had been there, time were accomplished that she should be delivered. I'm going to pop a bubble right now, okay? Stick your fingers in your ears if you don't want to hear it, all right? I'm not a spoiler. I don't like to do that. But I want to just tell you, do you know that Jesus was not born on December 25th? No, he wasn't. If you take answers in Genesis, listen, and very good. If you has judged that the time frame correctly, if we look at John the Baptist being conceived shortly after the term of Adabiah, who his father worked with in the temple priests, as they worked at priests, they had a rotation that they had, and around Pentecost, and then it was after that that Elizabeth got pregnant, and it says in the 6 months of Elizabeth's birth is when John the Baptist jumped in his womb, right? And so we know it's probably about 9 months after that that Mary gave birth to Jesus. That was probably sometime like our September or October. Again, now think about it. They were outside watching. How many of you last night would have been in the field watching your sheep by night? Exactly. It was probably cooler. It was probably a little bit brisk. But those people were out there watching their sheep and doing all that. And then it says that Mary and them, and they come in. And it says that they went to where? The inn. Now, how many of you have ever watched a nativity and you've seen the innkeeper? Can you show me that character in Scripture? And I'm not saying there was. There probably was. But that's just how we can perceive, and we think we know Scripture, and we really just have just a bare level of the understanding of Scripture. That's why we read it over and over, and we chew it up. But I want you to notice something about the word "in" there. The word, and they probably did go many places, but the word "in" there in the Greek is spelled like this: K-R-A-T-A-L-U-M-A, karataluma. Which is the same word that Jesus uses over in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 11, when he says, "The master says unto thee, where is the guest chamber? Well, I shall eat the Passover with my disciples." You see what he said? That's when Jesus wanted to prepare for the Last Supper. And notice what he was asking. He says, "You ask him for the guest chamber." And most people, that is the same word in the Greek that is used for "in" there over in Luke chapter 2. So it probably seems that they had went to homes of relatives at first and said, "Can we stay in the guest room?" But here's something else that's pretty neat too. There was something else that went on about this time that caused it to be overrun at this place, because over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it says, "Three times a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord, and in the place where he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of the weeks, and the feast of the tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." They had to do that 3 times a year. And it seems like that fell between September and October when Jesus was born, and at the same time you had everybody returning because they had to go and be registered to be taxed. And so, yes, it was overflowing. And there was no guest room for them. There was no place for them to pay or to stay. And so the Bible says, it never says that they stayed in a barn. It simply tells us that they laid him in a manger. Right? Now, it's kind of different here than it was there, because lots of times what they would use is they would use caves. And they would put their animals in the caves. But also, a lot of them would build houses up on stilts. And underneath, you know, they had flat roofs because they would hang out on the roofs. But then underneath, you know what they would do? What would we do? We park our cars under there, wouldn't we? We pull our four-wheeler and our side-by-side and all that. That's what they would do with their animals, because you know what? That was their farm equipment. They would have them under there. He said it was in that setting that was there. Now, let's think about who all was there. There was no doctor. There was no midwife. But that was common back then. We know there was a donkey, right? We know there was probably sheep, maybe a cow. And probably some, if it was covered, it was semi-covered place they were in, a cave or a, or under an add-on type bottom level. And you know what? I don't believe just because it was the Messiah that labor pains were taken away. I believe it might have been even worse. And it was just Joseph and Mary and the donkeys and the lambs and the sheep and nothing else. And in the silence of maybe a bar, you begin to hear the cry of a baby. But not just any baby. I believe it, the cry that the whole earth stood at attention. No kings, no queens, just a mama and a daddy. Hope of the earth. There, and you know, don't you imagine what you reckon? I bet Mary, what she did, she pulled him up. You know, it was probably Joseph who held him first. Held him. He grabbed him and he held him. He pulled him up in his arms and he loved on him. But you know how mama says, you ain't going to keep that baby from him too long. And he gave it to his mama. And then you know what he probably started doing? Because you remember that word swaddling? That just simply means torn cloth. So probably what he was doing while she was holding the baby is he got out his old work cloak. Be like our work jeans, brother. And he went to tearing them. Went to ripping them and they wrapped him tight. You know, I mean, they must teach mummy wrapping to them people that wrap the babies, ain't they? They can do it in a way that no, but they wrapped him up and they placed him in the baby. And you know what? That's the greatest Christmas that's ever been. And I want to tell you, I love the carols. I love the songs. I love the trees. I love all of it. But what does it do? Does it add to or take away? My wife, my daughter does it, because I wouldn't do it. And I have to tell her thank you for doing all of that. It's beautiful. But we can let all that just take it all away. When it was just mama, daddy, and the God-man. Is that not wonderful? I mean, whoo! That's the Christmas story. That's it. But that ain't it, because you remember, he's unshook the earth. Well, praise God. It's time to shake the heavens. Amen? Over in the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, we see the sounding off of his arrival. We've seen the situation. We've seen the special couple. We've seen the setting. Now we're going to hear the sound of his arrival. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Now remember, again, this ain't December. This is September, October. They're out there with their sheep. They're out here. And remember, it's not got a city, man. It's probably, it may not have been a clear, clear sky. There might have been a few clouds there. But man, the sky was bright and twinkling and all that stuff. And they were there in that pasture just butting up with each other, talking and cutting the fool, riding the clock, you know, get till morning. The next guy comes in. He'll take his job. And it says, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You have been given a Savior. The Savior, your provider, your redemption, your hope has come this night. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And his daddy's tore up work jeans. Lying in a manger. It was big business with everything. Sheep was big business. He's getting to be bigger business around here. Everybody got a sheep around here right now. It was big business over there. And so they were doing what they always had done. They were out there outside of the city. They might have been a little bit chilly, probably talking to each other, telling stories, telling jokes, and then all of a sudden, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says not just an angel of the Lord, but it says the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord is used twice in Matthew 1 and 2 and in Luke 1 and 2. But then it's also in the book of Luke, it also uses Gabriel, it's said, as is the angel of the Lord. So I have no doubt in speculating here that this one standing in the sky that has announced everything else about the Messiah's birth is the one that's standing there saying, behold, in the sky. Notice what it says. It says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The word glory there means the splendor, the brightness, the radiance, the amazing might, and the demonstration of heaven's power fell down upon these men. The awesomeness of Gabriel fell on them physically, and I believe it also the greatness and perfection and simply the fact that Gabriel has been in the presence of our Creator had fell on, down upon them. What do you reckon it was they said? Well, how you doing? No. The Bible says that they hit the, basically, that they were scared for their life. The word, it says they were sore afraid, meaning that they were terrified. And what did the angel respond and say? And the angel said unto them, fear not. There's no need to be fearful. You know what? We live in a world today, we don't know what's going on, and there's a lot of stuff that tries to rob us of our faith. But we are to fear not. Why? For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be assigned unto you, then ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Notice what Gabriel said is not vague. He says something great has just happened, not only for you, but for every human being. And it's right over there in the city of Bethlehem, and if you'll go look, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then, guess what happens then? A concert in heaven breaks loose. Remember, he shook the earth, now he's shaken to heaven. And what did they sing? They were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Why peace? Because God is sending His good will, His good want, His good desire, because it's not His will that any should perish. He wants to have peace with His most loved creation. And that's why He sent the Messiah that night. That's why He could say that it's good news to all people. Praise God. That's what Christmas is. That's what Christmas is. Peace and goodwill. Why is there peace? How can there be peace in God come from this little baby? Because this little baby grows up as Jesus the Christ. Perfect in every way. He was declared to be the Son of the Most High, but yet He called Himself Son of Man. And then he was lied on, he was abused, and he did it all, and he died on the cross, and he rose up on the third day. That's the most important event in history. Ranking just behind this one, or just ahead of this one. It says they couldn't help it. They went out and they started telling people. They started telling them, it's just what they said we'd see. It's exactly what they said we'd see. And again, we don't know how many shepherds, but let's say at the max, 4 to 5. That's still only 7 people that came to the birth of the Messiah. Why is that important? Because, see, He came to save the lowliest of the lowly. And He'll save the highest of the high. But He's a blue-collar Savior. Ain't that good to say? He's a blue-collar Savior, praise God. He knows what I've been through, yet He loves me. And then there's Mary. And I want to end with this because I think it's very special. Because it shows the heart of a mama. And Jesus loved His mama. We could see it on the cross. But then in verse 9 it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There was only one who was there with Jesus in His life all the way from birth to death. And that was mama. That was mama. Don't you know she was a proud mama? Don't you know she was? But I think there's a lesson that we can learn in this. In the midst of a year that has been tough and difficult, where we don't feel like we have our rights, we don't know what's going to happen, we can look at the best of all Christmases, the first Christmas. So what? You can't buy your children the things that they want. You can't take the trip you want to take. The greatest of all Christmas was just Joseph, Mary, and the Messiah. Can I challenge you this year, Christian? 2 things I think we can learn from this. Number 1 is this. It's got to be a personal Christmas. We got to stop and we got to get in this book. We got to recognize that this Messiah, this Savior, this baby that is no longer a baby, but the baby that we separate now, we got to recognize that it's all about Him. And nothing else matters until He's number 1. And number 2 is this. If we do that, because see what happened. When the shepherds, the only other ones that we know beside the parents that were allowed to be at the birth of the Messiah, when they got to Him, it got them excited. It filled them with joy. And it made them want to talk about it. You know what? You may not have the best Christmas this year, but you know what? Even in the midst of all this, you could have the second best because I just read to you about the best one. And all you got to do is I'd love to see you come and do it to the altar, and it has been sprayed. But why not today? Even if you're saved, maybe you need to rededicate. Why don't you just come up here today and get down on the altar and say, you're worthy. Here's my life once again and fresh. I know I'll probably have to give it to you again tomorrow. But here's my life. And you know what? For this Christmas, Lord, all I'm asking you is to spend a little time with you. And you know what I think will happen? I think you'll get a little bit like, and I'll get a little bit like the shepherds. And we'll go out of there. And you know what? We'll be going, I ain't never seen that man. He sure knew how to tear up them jeans, didn't he? And she could wrap him just in. And they go out and they started talking. I bet you they were singing a little bit. I don't know what they were singing, but they was probably just singing it and telling it to everybody. But first, before we can have that kind of Christmas spirit, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, we got to say, Lord, I want this Christmas just to be about You and me. Maybe today, it's not a question of salvation, but you do need to rededicate. I said this the other night, but I think it's pretty good. I think that the Lord loves re-gifters. if we'll just give back to him. Say, I've walked that aisle, I've given him my heart, I don't know, come do it again. Maybe tonight, you've never been saved. You don't know what it means to have Jesus as your Messiah. Well, can I tell you this, and I say it sadly, you can't truly celebrate Christmas until you have Jesus as your Messiah. But I'd love to show you what it means. Or maybe you just want to be baptized. Maybe you need to be rebaptized. Maybe you need to join Thomas Village Baptist Church. But I'm going to ask our sister, if she would, to come and play us just one verse this morning. That's all we're going to go do. Unless you're going to control the altar call this morning. If the Lord's leading you to come up here and to give him your life or to pray for somebody else or whatever, you start coming right now. I'm going to ask you to stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is your day. You've brought us together, and let our hearts not be troubled, but let us focus on Jesus right now. And Lord, let us be reminded it don't take Christmas trees and all the other stuff. Don't take presents. All it takes is the Messiah. And in that, we can have the best Christmas ever. Jesus is the reason for this season. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Won't you come this morning? Come do business with Jesus. You say, I ain't got to do business with Jesus on the altar. Yeah, but what better place to do it? What better place to come and just say, Lord, I'm giving you my life today. Maybe today you want to come up here and you got family you worried about. Why don't you come up here and say, Lord, not just my life, but I want to give you my boy, my son's life. I want to give you my daughter's life. I want to give you my daddy's life. I want to give you my daughter-in-law's life. Hey, Bodie and Braden, how old are they? They ain't even 5 or 6, and the other one's probably about 3. They on our prayer list. We pray for their salvation. I'm praying for them little boys. What better day than to come and say, Happy birthday, Jesus. There's none like you. And if there was, I wouldn't want him anyhow. Maybe you just want to hold your hands up where you are and say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He which was alive and was dead but is now alive forevermore. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Jesus, 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 this is your house. We are your people. And we worship you and celebrate your birth. Celebrate your love. Celebrate your mercy. Celebrate your arrival. That you would choose to be identified with your flawed creation. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. It is good, it is sweet, you are holy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making much of Jesus. We know, Holy Spirit, you're a gentleman and your job is to lift him up. So we thank you for that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are good and your mercy endures. From everlasting unto everlasting. You have a purpose and you have a plan in our life. When we can't trust what we see, when we can't trust what we feel, we can trust who you are. We can trust what you've done. We can trust and look and see where you brought us from. Merry Christmas to you, Jesus. Merry Christmas to you, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said, Amen and Amen. Thank you, Sister Nancy. God bless you. Tonight, again, remember, we'll be on Facebook only and this Wednesday night. I almost did it last Wednesday night. You know, it was hovering like at 37. And I was worried about the sun going down, and it was really icy. And so just be kindly watching, because as the weather is, we want y'all to be careful and all that. Do we have any words of praise or testimony before we close tonight?
Well, I'd like to thank God for letting me be here today.
Amen. Amen.
So we're trying. Anything else before we close? All right. I'm going to ask Brother Paul Allwood if he would come and close us out in a word of prayer this morning, if he doesn't mind.
Let's pray. Father, Almighty God, we do thank you for this wonderful blessing of being able to gather this morning to worship you. Thank you for Jesus, the most precious gift there's ever been.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for your gift of salvation.
Yes.
Father, I ask you to be with each and every one that's here today. Bless them, give them a time of true fellowship and worship with you this week as we celebrate Christmas. Now, Father, have your way and your will in our lives.
Yes.
Lord, help us to ever live in a manner that will bring honor and glory to you. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name I ask. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, brother.